Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to our daily coverage of the 2019 Iditarod here on Dog Works Radio. Make sure you check us out over on dogworksradio.com, and you can hear us in the valley here on KVRF 89.7 and radiofreepalmer.org. Joining us from Southern California is our co-host, Alex Stein. Alex, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. I'm looking at the standings right now, and it looks like everyone at this point has either completed their 24-hour rest or are at the tail end of completing it. I think there's two or three mushers who are still in their 24-hour rests, and that will be completed within a few hours. So we have that done, and I believe there are a couple of mushers who also at this point have completed their mandatory 8-hour rest. So we were talking a lot about the rests in the past couple of days, and it looks like those things are all coming into play. And we've got some weather coming in, and it looks like it's going to be an exciting next few days for Iditarod.
Oh, I agree with you. And we do have one of those checkpoint awards updates. It looks like Nick Pettit took the first of the Yukon award. And remember, that is the big 7-course meal that is provided by the Lakefront Hotel, and he will enjoy that. A lot of times when mushers do that, if they have a sizable lead, they will take their 8-hour rest and really enjoy that meal in all of its glory there at the checkpoint. But other than that, Alex, we have a pretty interesting show today. We're going to talk about a rookie musher, Blair Braverman, who has literally taken the internet by storm, in particular with Iditarod. She is a true rock star, isn't she?
She really is. And I just have a couple of real quick things to cover before we jump over to her. There is something that the Iditarod does every year is they let people call into the phone room, and you can send what they refer to as a mushergram, where you can send a message to a musher, any musher you want, and that will be delivered to them further down the trail. They'll figure out where to send the messages and then send it to the particular musher. It's totally free, and you can do that by calling area code 907-248-6874, which is 907-248-MUSH, and you can specify a short message that you want to send to any particular musher who is on the trail. And that is something that, you know, is actually delivered to the mushers. And especially for some of these people who are not the best known mushers, who are, you know, the middle or back of the packers that we talk about a lot on this show, it means a lot to them to get these messages of encouragement from their fans and from fans of the race.
Oh, I agree with you. And there is also a spot along the trail in Unicleet, which is the beginning of the last third of the race, that has been known to deliver pizzas out on the trail. You can call in and deliver a pizza to one of the mushers as they arrive in that checkpoint. I know that's pretty popular along the trail, isn't it?
It really is. And that's something that, you know, the mushers get hot food delivered right to them. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to heat it up. They don't have to go into the checkpoint. It's delivered by snow machine right out to the checkpoint when they pull in. So that's a pretty cool thing to do also if you want to show some love to a musher that way.
All right. What else do we have, Alex?
So I'm looking at the current standings right now, and it looks like Nick is in Grayling. Also in Grayling, Yur Olsen, Jesse Royer, and Pete Kaiser. And Mitch Seavey is between Anvik and Grayling, and Ali Zirkel is nearly at Anvik. So that's your top six right now. And the spread between the two of number one and number six is about 40 miles. So at this point in the race, that's pretty close. You know, we mentioned that there's some weather coming in, and that always can change things instantly. There's also, once they get off the Yukon River, there's a very long portage between Caltag and Unalakleet, and frequently we've seen people slow down in that area, and we've seen leads change there. So we're very solidly in what we like to refer to as the middle third of the race, dividing it up into three thirds. And the middle one is in the interior and up the Yukon River. And then approximately the last third of the race is up the coast starting in Unalakleet. And obviously things can change very drastically at any time, but you know, having this small of a spread between the first team and the team that's in sixth is, you know, it's very much still anybody's race. And then looking back at the back of the pack, in the checkpoint of Ofer is Allison Liefke, Jeremy Keller, Cindy Galee, Victoria Hardwick, and Cindy Abbott. So that's sort of the front and the very back of the pack, and a lot of people, you know, making their way up through Iditarod and Shagalik and onto the Yukon.
It's going to be a big weekend of racing for sure. It looks like it is shaping up just how a lot of people have reported it. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. We've also heard a lot of people having some problems near the checkpoint of Iditarod with these this field of tussocks, and this tussocks are basically big sort of round collections of dirt and grass and things, and they get blown and they get frozen. And Pete Kaiser, there's an article in the Anchorage Daily News where Pete Kaiser was referring to that stretch as like mushing over bowling balls, or if you want to think of it differently, like going over a mogul field if you were a skier or a snowboarder. So that is why approaching the Iditarod checkpoint, there are a lot of teams that slowed down considerably to, 4 or 5 miles per hour, as opposed to a more normal cruising speed of 7 to 9 miles per hour.
Right. Yeah. Those tussocks are no joke out on the trails. Just right outside of our back door on our outbound trail, we have a tundra swamp area, and that is just full of those tussocks, and it'll beat you up pretty good. And we only have about, a half mile or so of it till we hit the main trail here. But I can only imagine what it's like going for miles and miles over something like that.
Yeah. It's just, I would think that it would be very, very difficult going.
Right. What else do you have for us, Alex?
So the only other story that I saw today is that for the second year in a row, because of weather problems, they have not been able to deliver drop bags to Eagle Island. So there also is concern about not wanting to leave the drop bags there for fear that animals would get into them. So the Iditarod is having to make do. They're putting extra straw and fuel there. They're going to try to bring the Eagle Island bags from Caltag by snow machine, but it's not clear that they're actually going to have food in Eagle Island. What this means is that the mushers will just have to carry their food from Grayling like they did last year. And that's, that could change people's plans a little bit in terms of when they stop being able to, you know, go a little bit farther, knowing that they would have the food there. So, you know, we always talk about how these type of events, especially these weather events, can throw your carefully laid race plans into disarray. And for a lot of mushers, they say that really once you're out on the trail and you're doing a 1,000-mile race, it's important to have your race plan and to have a general idea of what you're going to do. But I think it's also equally important to be able to improvise and just sort of adapt to the changes that come about, because in a race this long, there's always going to be things that are unanticipated and things that you have to change up.
Exactly right. You couldn't have said it better myself.
So let's jump into our musher of the day then. We're talking today about Blair Braverman. Blair Braverman, as you mentioned up front, is really just kind of a rock star in this year's Iditarod. And ordinarily in these profiles, I try to be very, objective. And I think that's going to go out the window a little bit now, because I really think that Blair Braverman is just an amazing person, an amazing musher, and a really great force for good in the world, and a positive thing to come along for Iditarod. I should mention that Blair and her husband Quince Mountain, known to her fans as Q, have been Twitter buddies of ours for a long time. When we first started doing this show together, Quince was one of the people who would be up at all hours of the day and night, having Twitter conversations about the race and offering insights and opinions about the race. Just a really, really wonderful guy. And they are both writers. They both are nonfiction writers. Blair is 30 years old. She was born in California, studied environmental law at Colby, and then got an MFA in nonfiction writing from the University of Iowa. She went to Norway as a teenager to learn about mushing, and wrote a book about her mushing experiences, which I recommend heartily to everybody, called Welcome to the Goddamn Ice Cube. And it's a great read. It has lots of details about mushing and about what motivates her, and some kind of scary incidences that she had to go through, but a really wonderful, wonderful book. Her social media followers refer to themselves as the Ugly Dog. So if you want to look for anything related to Blair Braverman and Quince, you can usually find it under the hashtag Ugly Dogs. And the reason that they call themselves Ugly Dogs is, a few years ago, there was a Twitter troll who was arguing with Blair and being very dismissive of her. And at one point he said to her, "Just go back to your ugly dogs, Karen." And even though Blair Braverman is not named Karen, she thought that this was a just wonderful sentence and just very bizarre and memorable. And then her fans started referring to themselves as the Ugly Dogs. And I put out a request this morning for her fans to share some of their favorite stories about Blair or about their team. And almost immediately, within about 20 or 30 minutes, I had over 100 responses from them. And lots of great stories about her team. She and Q live in Wisconsin, but they have come up to Alaska for the last two winters. Last year, when she was running her qualifiers, and then this year, getting ready to run the Iditarod. And so just briefly, she has a dog named Flame, and there is a wonderful Twitter thread that Blair had about training Flame to play nice with chickens. And so she put these chicks on Flame, and and was afraid that Flame was going to try to eat them. So at first there were just a few chicks on Flame, and then she would let them spend a little bit more time, and then she noticed that Flame would try to lick the chicks, and she was afraid that this was a taste test in preparation for eating them, but then gradually realized that although Flame is fixed, she has always gotten along really, really well with puppies, and saw these chicks as sort of a slightly different and stranger looking form of puppy, and was licking them to clean them and take care of them. She also has a dog named Harry, which is short for Harrycot Beans, and that's a blind sled dog. Blair says that Harry saved her and her team several times. There was once when she was trying to come home from a training run, and there was a big blizzard, and none of her other leaders could lead because they couldn't find or see the trail. But Harry didn't need to see the trail because it didn't matter to him. He's blind, so he could just smell the trail, and she put him in lead, and he led the team all the way home. There was another case where she was running the John Bear Grease, and she fell off of her sled, and the sled and the dogs got away from her. And, you know, ordinarily the sled with a dog team with a musher on the runners will go maybe 8 or 10 miles per hour, but without the musher and the sled being that much lighter, the team will start going, you know, up to 20 miles per hour. And the team just started running after her, running in front of her. And she said a little prayer to John Bear Grease and was hoping that he would guide her team and would take care of the team and drive it when she wasn't on the back of the sled. And she started walking in the direction that the dogs had gone, because they were out of sight by this point. And she finally found the team, and the sled was not tipped over and the dogs were not at all tangled, but she noticed that Harry was significantly farther back than he would be in the regular line. And she realized that what must have happened is Harry somehow realized that Blair was not with them and just stopped. And then once that dog had stopped, the other dogs just stopped. And they waited for her. This year she is taking with her on her team Pepe, who is her main leader, who has run every one of the qualifiers that Blair ran. Flame, Spike, Xander, two dogs from Ray Reddington's team, Orville and Wilbur, who are both Iditarod veterans. Ebony, Hunter, Talese, Boo, Colbert, Wixon, Helly, and Timmy. She has had a very longtime member of her dog team named Jenga. And Jenga is a sled dog who is getting older. And when they were training for Iditarod this year, there were some signs that Jenga was getting a little bit of arthritis and was nearing the end of his competitive days. And Blair said that Jenga probably could run Iditarod, but she didn't think that he would enjoy it. So she had Jenga run the 11 miles at the ceremonial start in Anchorage, and then traded him out so that he is not running the full Iditarod. And there are plenty of other amazing stories on her Twitter feed at Blair Braverman, and you know, things about a sled dog that she had that just didn't seem to want to run very much and was more interested in people. And so she rehomed this dog with her parents, and it's now a pet. It's now her mom and dad's inside dog, house dog. And she sent, because dogs don't write and dogs don't send postcards, she sent a postcard to this dog from all of the members of her team. So each member of her dog team, there is a picture of the dog, and a comment in the dog's voice, sort of talking about how much they miss this dog, who is now down in Seattle with her mom. Another cool thing that the Ugly Dogs did is last night there was a post about these school kids from Nikolai, and Nikolai is a very small village, and it's not on the road system, and it's difficult to get from Nikolai to the big city. And the kids who were there were working at the checkpoint and trying to raise money so that they could have a school trip to Anchorage to see things that you don't have in a village like Nikolai, you know, like museums and things like that. They put up a GoFundMe page, and they were about $4,000 short of their goal. And one of the members of the Ugly Dogs tweeted about this fundraiser last night and said, hey, let's all contribute to this. And overnight, there were more than 200 contributions, almost all between $10 and $30, with a few that were a little bit higher, but I didn't see any that were more than $100. And they fully funded this trip for the kids from Nikolai to go to Anchorage overnight. And then after that had happened, other members of the Ugly Dogs contingent were saying, well, let's look for other great projects involving school children in Alaska that we can help contribute to. When I put out this call for stories about Blair and people's stories about her dogs, there were a lot of people who responded, but my favorite response was from Rachel Lane Warden, who is at Plucky Librarian, who said that her favorite Blair story is how Blair has taught us to be kind and support everyone in whatever way that we can. And, you know, I think that this is really just a wonderful thing, and it's very, very inspiring. And I think that even if you take out the whole dogs and sled dog race aspect of this, that's really very much what the Iditarod is about people helping each other, people trying to do things that are great and amazing that you can't always do by yourself. And it's an amazing thing to have someone like this competing in the race. And before the ceremonial start, I was talking to a lot of people and a lot of the traditional Iditarod fans and people who've been following the race for a long time didn't necessarily get what was different about Blair. And yet, if you look at the media coverage, there were features about her on the Today Show and NPR, and she writes for Outside Magazine, and she wrote this piece in Vogue about the women of the Iditarod, and there was just a lot of excitement to bring people who weren't necessarily already fans of dog sled racing or fans of the Iditarod into the Iditarod. And I think that that is something that is very, very valuable and something that we really are going to need for the race to continue and be successful. There are a lot of mushers who can be very authentic. A lot of them are distrustful of outsiders, but there are a lot of mushers who can be very authentic. And then there are a bunch of mushers who are very, very good at media and social media. And there aren't too many who can do both well, because sometimes the people who are really good at media or really good at social media do not come off as very authentic. And one of the great things about Blair and about Q is that they've just built up this following by being authentically who they are. So they share things about stuff that happens to them. Blair shared a story about having to get rid of a dog that she had because the dog had been spooked perhaps by a, a, wolf trail, a wolf scent on the trail, and had attacked one of her other dogs, and how it was harrowing, and she had to separate the dogs and put herself in between these two dogs, one of whom was biting the other one, and they were bloodied, and that these are the kind of things that happen. And even though, you know, it's not always just fun with the puppies, that she is very open about sharing these things and sharing her attitude towards these things as they come up, and her attitude towards training. Q was reading Craig Medrid's great book, Graveyard of Dreams, which is about back of the Packers and some of the problems that happened to them. And she had said before the race that she was a little bit anxious because he was reading this book, and she realized that there are just a lot of great mushers who enter the Iditarod and don't necessarily finish. She also, I attended a speech that she gave at the lakefront before the race, and it was really inspiring and really great. And one of the more amazing things was that whenever she would put up a slide of one of her dogs and talk about a dog that she was taking with her to Nome, the people in the crowd would just cheer these dogs. And there were a lot of the Ugly Dogs fans who were there who really knew about these dogs and had been following these dogs' adventures and knew the dogs' personalities. And it's sort of like when they saw this picture of the dog and they said, oh, great, this dog is going to Nome, you know, Flame is going to Nome, Spike is going to Nome, that was something that made them actually cheer out loud. And we've talked in the past about wanting to focus more attention on the dogs and not just talk about the mushers and the teams. And we've been trying to do that this year. I have to say it's a little bit easier this year because of the two-way communication rules. And there's a lot more information about, you know, which dogs have been dropped and which dogs are still on particular teams. But this is, it's really cool to see the fans of a musher be so invested in the dogs themselves. So Blair is running a what seems to be a very good, slightly conservative race. She is very solidly in the middle to the back of the pack. Right now, I think she is in 42nd place out of 52 or 51, which is, you know, this is, she entered the race not thinking that she was going to win the race or that she was going to be, you know, a top 10 or a top 20 finisher, but entering it because she loves mushing and genuinely wants to share that with a lot of people and wanted to take these amazing athletes, these amazing dogs, all the way to Nome. So I can't say enough good things about her.
Wow, Alex, that is a heck of a profile for sure. A couple of tidbits, at least on my side, with my interactions with Blair. Blair was on our show about a year and a half or so ago, and I have to say it's one of my favorite interviews of all time just because of how authentic she was. And I know you had said that in your profile as well. Just a real down-to-earth, nice human being, and I really enjoyed having her on our show. And I posted that link over on Twitter and Facebook yesterday, kind of as a teaser, saying that we were going to talk about Blair this afternoon. And I can't believe the response that we got from that, not only on Twitter but on Facebook. But that show was downloaded almost 1,000 times yesterday, and that just shows, that just is the testament of how hungry her fans are to listen to just anything that Blair has done in the media. In regards to the Ugly Dogs and Karen, I happened to be on Twitter that night when she posted that. It was late at night, Alaska time, and I remember seeing that coming over her Twitter feed, and I started talking to her on Twitter, and my first question was, who is Karen, Blair? And she, you know, she kind of gave me a chuckle, and my wife was sitting next to me, and she caught notice of it, and she said, hey, that has something to do with Dane Cook, the comedian. So she and I, my wife and I, pulled up some Dane Cook YouTube videos, and we found a YouTube clip about Karen. And I remember sending that over to Blair, and we got a heck of a chuckle over that. And I tell you what, that really just kicked everything off for the ugly dogs and for Karen. And I think we had a conversation for a week or so in regards to that post. So that's sort of my connection with Blair and the ugly dogs and Karen. And I just had to share that today. And with regards to her being a rock star, you and I have been doing this show for 8 years. Every Iditarod, we do a daily show, and we follow it really closely, and we're reading all the stories and looking at Twitter and Facebook and, you know, all of the sources that we possibly can to come up with things to talk about on the show. And I've been a dog musher since the early 90s. My first dog sled race was in 1994, and I've been around a lot of mushers in my day, and I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of press written about mushers and stories written about mushers and mushers doing interviews. And I will say, in all the years that I've either been involved with mushing or as a podcaster and radio show host, I have never seen anything like what we're seeing, not only during this year's Iditarod, but all of the lead up to it. It is just absolutely amazing. And with that, as a dog musher, I cannot think of a more positive outlook on dog mushing than what we're seeing with Blair Braverman and her husband Quince and all of the fans that are surrounding that. It is just so helpful for our sport in a time where we receive a lot of bad press, a lot of times from people that are uneducated about dog mushing and our lifestyle and all that. And a person like Blair is changing the norms. She's pushing the needle in a way that I've never seen before. And I cannot say enough about her and all those positive vibes that she's getting. What a wonderful ambassador for the sport of dog mushing. What a wonderful ambassador for pet owners and for folks that are needing, positive vibes and just that something to grab onto, chasing those dreams or whatever they're doing. I think it's just amazing. And I am so glad that she's doing what she's doing, and we're able to talk about her today.
Yeah, and one more just quick little trivia thing that I wanted to mention is that Q actually is allergic to dogs. So she says that she gives the dogs extra love and extra cuddles because Q is allergic and can't really interact with the dogs on that level. He started out was a horse guy, was like a cowboy and trained horses and dealt with horses and kind of got introduced to the whole idea of dogs and dog mushing when he met and fell in love with Blair. So it's a really wonderful and sweet story with the two of them. And I know that Q is working his way up the trail on a snow machine, sort of following Blair, and also reporting for the Iditapod, which is Alaska Public Media's Iditarod podcast. So, they're both just really wonderful people, and it is just great that they're together, and it's great that they together are doing what they're doing.
Yeah, at last take, I believe he was on his way towards that second third of the race. He was in Rainy Pass this morning. So he's a little bit further back on the trail than she is. But as you said, he's working his way northwest, I guess that would be, on his way towards Nome. And I'm sure that he will be there at the time where she crosses that Burled Arch there in Nome. I look forward to seeing what happens with her on the trail and, of course, what happens after the race and how she handles all of that, not only on social media, but, her reporting on the various avenues that she's involved in, like you said, Outside Magazine, and she had written for Vogue and ESPN.com and all of these other outlets. I think that's really going to really step up the coverage of our sport in a positive way. Alex, we are over time. I so much enjoyed talking about Blair and her Ugly Dogs and all of the fans that follow under that hashtag. Make sure you check out that hashtag. Boy, you will be on Twitter for hours if you get caught up in that feed. I think that you could spend the entire day just reading some of those comments back and forth under that hashtag. And that's a great way to follow the race, because it's not just about Blair and her adventures, but also the goings on, as you mentioned, with the GoFundMe for the kids in Nikolai and whatnot. Do we have anything else that we want to mention before we close, Alex?
No, I think that's it. Except that we're going to, you know, this is going to be a really interesting next 24 to 48 hours. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out with people taking their 8-hour Yukon River rests and working their way over towards the coast.
Looking forward to it, as always. Until tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening, when we're back on the air. Alex, it's always a pleasure having you as my co-host, and we'll see you next time. And for all of our fans, have a great evening and see you on the trail. Goodbye.